everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, and we have co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and you can find him at courtroomwatch.org. And I want to thank you for listening tonight. We are now going to open up the lines for callers to call in. The number is 1-800-313-9443. And I would like to go ahead and take the first caller. Hi, Greg. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for the quality broadcast that you and Eric do all the time. A couple of subjects I wanted to touch on, if I may.
Sure.
I can't prove this. I didn't verify it, but I did hear a few different places that the White House also scrubbed any mention of LGBT activity.
I will say this. In reference to what you're speaking, the only thing I know is I do know there was one report out of a mainstream media little tiny snippet that when they had said that the climate change and the global warming had been scrubbed from it, they mentioned the LGBT, quote-unquote, LGBT civil rights. Okay. I have not confirmed that yet. That's why I've not reported that yet. However, this is something, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because one of the things people need to understand and realize, number one, stop asking or requesting the government to give you any civil rights. These are not civil rights. These are your unalienable rights, people. You don't need it on a government website. You don't need them in your bedroom. You have your rights from the time you took your first breath. Stop asking for permission to have a right. So I do want to let you know, though, Greg, I have not confirmed that, but I have also heard that.
Yes, same. That's why I said I didn't confirm it. It would be a pleasant thought, because really government, even though it is a certain unalienable right, government's got really no business meddling in states' business anyway, and how the Supreme Court ever turned that decision around is beyond me. This is the second thing I wanted to touch on, if I may. I'm surprised you guys probably did pick up on it, but the two O's between the Vice President Pence and President Trump were radically different. They left an entire line out of Mr. Trump's. Mm-hmm. And considering they've been playing games with this sort of thing, you'll remember last inaugurations, they played games with Obama's alleged oath. So they're doing something funny. It'd be interesting to know what the official oath is.
Tell the listeners, what line did you notice that was being suspiciously omitted?
Very, very conspicuously had been left out was the line fighting both, or defending against both foreign and domestic. I can't
enemies
exactly
foreign
remember.
And domestic.
Yeah,
that
enemies foreign and
domestic. But he did say that. He did repeat that line.
Really?
Yes, he did.
Trump did. Because certainly Pence did. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I keep
Trump and
it,
Pence
and I
did. And
really,
I'll tell you what. This is how you can get it, Greg. I'm going to tell you. After the show is over, republicbroadcasting.org, hit their archive button, okay? Go back to this show in hour one, because that's when it'll have been, and we will have links to where you can actually see it and hear it, turn it up, and you can see it for yourself so that you don't just take – because I'm always like that. What do I always tell my listeners? Watch your backs and check your facts, right? Always have that proof. So, yes, we will have – there is a link that is provided for the clips and stuff that I use to where you can hear that. But, no, that was in there. It was.
I'm surprised. I shouldn't say anything. But I beg to differ with you. You played the president's first and then – I'm sorry, the vice president's first, and that was conspicuously. So I'm going to go back and listen. But
sure.
Thank you. Just food for thought. I have a sinking suspicion it was not in the president. It was
much
more.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to go listen to it. I have to go listen to it as well.
I'm sure you'll find it.
The only reason that I know for a fact that it was in there is because when I was processing the video today to put up on my YouTube, I have to record, then process, cut out any blank that's in the beginning or the end, you know, because there will be dead space when I process started the recording. And I'll listen all the way through to make sure there's not any any glitches. You know, when something's played live, you'll sometimes have a YouTube that just keeps on spinning and nothing's being said. You know what I mean? So I have to make sure that none of that was going on. But yeah, he did say from against enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Okay, well, I invite you to, you have both clips. They probably only take 2 minutes. If you've got the extra 2 minutes in the show, play them both back, because I'd like to hear the vice president again. And we'll see.
Okay. Is it the vice president that you're wanting to hear, or is it the president?
Both. Play them back to back.
He wants to hear both. He's saying they may have left. That one line out of Trump's speech, but and I don't remember. I'm going to go back and listen as well.
We're going to do that as a special request for you, Greg, because we love our listeners.
Thanks. Bye.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. If you would, Mike, if you could get LV2 ready, please, that would be great. And just scroll it, skip the music part, and see if you can find where the speech begins, if you could try to do that. And while Mike's trying to get that ready, for everybody, if there's any other callers, we would love to hear from you. 1-800-313-9443. Now, I'm going to ask this of my listeners. Most people know that Lori, Tom's Lori, Texas 101, she's really having a hard time, everybody. She really is. Tom and her have put their lives on hold and have given up so much in order to fight for your liberties and your freedoms and to get the news out to people. Well, I'm telling you, Lori is having a really hard time right now. She needs your help. She is stuck in an area that she cannot get out of because she was unable to sell one of the items that she was going to sell to be able to make it to her next destination. Please.
Yeah, that's Oregon. See, people step up and help fund Operation Get Lori to Oregon so she can be with Tom at his appearances and at his trial. That's the long and short. Lori's sending out a funding plea. If you go to, well, Lori will give you the website. But, yeah, this is for Lori in Texas to get out and assist Tom through his matter dealing with the witch's court right now. He's being unlawfully held in Eugene, Oregon. He's being brought to trial on a victimless offense. And I really would like to see the jailhouse doors swing open when this new administration wakes up on Monday morning after their little party and see some of these cases where the state is claiming that somehow society can be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. It does not exist, in fact. Only a living man or woman can claim victim status. The prosecutor is claiming that Tom did him harm. Are the state police claiming that Tom did them harm? Are the FBI complaining that Tom did him harm? I mean, Tom didn't harm anybody, so I really would like to see a message out to the new administration. There's going to be change. We're going to be watching it at the practical level, which is where the rubber meets the road, and that's where Tom sits right now in jail. So please go to the websites and pull out a few dollars. There's a PayPal. It's real easy. If you don't have a debit card with a bank account and you're kind of off the grid, you can go to Walmart and pick up a prepaid debit card. I think it costs $1 to buy it off the rack. Looks just like a regular Visa card. And then you got to go to the customer service or the counter or the register, and you got to put $20 on it to activate the card. So you got to, and you don't have to give all that to Tom. It would be nice, but you put up $5 on there. Donate to your favorite cause. If you're listening to this show, you got to have some affinity and some like and some respect for Tom. I can't believe people who could afford to help him would not do so. And then listen to the show and then take a lot of enjoyment and entertainment and knowledge that we give you here.
It's to the point. Lori is stuck.
Go, Lori.
This is to the point. Lori is stuck, and she needs help. Yep. She really needs help. She is not an individual to ask for help unless she absolutely needs it. And please, if you can donate anything, please, you can go to resurrecttherepublic.com and click on the PayPal button, the donate button. You can send directly from your PayPal to tomlacavera@gmail.com. Lori can get that. She really needs your help, guys. And that's what we're here for. We're a family. And so we need to stand up for our family and do everything we can. And she appreciates everything that has come in, but $20 and you know, $30 and coming in very periodically is not going to get her to Oregon. It's not going to even help feed Lori. And right now she really needs our help. So I'm asking on behalf of her, a strong, patriotic, loving, truthful person who has fought for every one of us and fought for everyone's children when she stood up against school boards about the Common Core and the different things that were going on there. They need your help.
Yeah, Tom,
so please.
Tom is really the only real reporter to bring you the Bundy trial from Oregon, complete with interviews of people that were at the trial, people who got acquitted, people who were in it, around it. You got more information from him than you did out of most of these other talk show hosts. A lot of the big ones in the alternative media, names you would recognize, didn't even touch it. They didn't even cover the Bundy trial in the smallest of way. I don't even think they mentioned it as a sidebar in a little brief 3-second mention. You heard about it from Tom. He's the only one that brought you the Bundy. And this is where you get knowledge. So,
and this,
you know, where else are you going to learn about the Vickers? Where
right.
else,
and
else
this
is going to say about
yeah.
the Vickers except here on Resurrect the Republic?
Right. Well, what I'm going to do, Eric, is I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take one more caller, and then I'm going to play those clips for Greg, as promised, because we keep our word around here. Hello, Tripp. How are you doing this evening?
Good, thank you very much. I'm calling from Valley Forge. I wanted to make a comment about civil rights, but first I wanted to say something about what the last caller said about an individual having to be injured. That's nonsense, and that's a popular belief.
That's in the canons, sweetheart. That's in the canons. That's in the canons.
What canons?
How can society be a victim?
Well, let's take a hypothetical example of somebody zipping down residential streets at like 55-60 miles an hour.
It doesn't matter. If nobody is injured, there is no injury.
Can we use a real example instead of a hypothetical with all the hundreds of thousands of cases going to the witches court on a daily basis?
Okay, hold on, guys. Hold on. Both of you, hold on a minute. Let's let Tripp
finish, please.
Hold on, please. In order for everybody to be able to hear both sides from the beginning and then on the other side, y'all can't talk at the same time. So, Tripp, go ahead and finish your statement of what you think, and then we will answer you.
If you have somebody driving down residential streets at 60 miles an hour, nobody is technically injured on that, but they have speed limits because there's certain reasonable speeds that allow the populace not to be threatened. You know, kids can go outside and cross the street and things like that. Otherwise, you know, kids will have to be locked in their houses and things like that. And it's this belief is nice. It has no basis in reality. It's unfunctional. It would make a dysfunctional society if it were actually in place.
Okay, now I'm going to answer you. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to answer you, and then I'm going to let Eric answer you. But I want to answer you on your notion of what you just said. Okay? First of all, on your statement that's not based on reality. First of all, if nobody is harmed, there is no victim. You cannot put the state on the stand. You have to be able to face your accuser. You cannot – hold on. I let you say your piece. Now I'm going to answer. You cannot place a fictitious entity on the stand, period. It doesn't exist. They have only representatives. Now, on that same token – with what you were saying. I understand the end of the ideology to keep the neighborhood safe. However, the reality is, who, if they are a decent parent, is going to allow their children, first of all, to run out the street and play in the street? Second of all, if somebody is harmed, that is when the individual goes against the other individual. That is known specifically in common law, what we were founded upon. If there is a victim and you can face your accuser, then there is a situation of where it is. However, speed limits per se are not lawful. Look in your constitution of your state, look in the constitution of the federal, not one of them was ever granted permission to enact those quote-unquote speed limit signs. Why? Because they were never given the authority by the people. Those signs are made in order for control. I will give you another example. You have a lot of individuals. Let's say somebody is speeding. Nobody is hurt. They get a ticket. Does it put money in your pocket? Does it put money anywhere? No. It puts money into the system, which makes them richer. It does no good. Anybody who wants to violate the speed limit, per se, as you were talking about, is going to do it anyway. They don't care about the signs. Just like the criminals don't care about the gun-free zones. As a matter of fact, that is their favorite spot to be, is a gun-free zone, because there is nothing but unarmed victims in gun-free zones. Now, Eric, go ahead with your answer, and then we'll let him respond.
Yeah, you're never going to get the dishonest and the thieves will always gravitate into government and up to the top. Then they will be dictating what you used as quote-unquote reasonable. It always exceeds the reasonable standard, and because, like Lori said, they're lining their pockets with the money they gain from the system, it's always going to get corrupted. So, I mean, it would be nice to have the fantasy of having everybody in perfect safety because the speed limit is 30 everywhere, and you can't put your toe here, and you can't put that there, and you must have paperwork for everything, for hunting, for driving a motorcycle, a car, for fishing. Your fish has to be 12 inches, not 11, and you're going to get a ticket by the New York State DEC. All this stuff becomes unreasonable. There is the reasonable standard that you put forth never gets adhered to. It always gets abused. It gets corrupted because of the type of people that gravitate into government. And look at the numbers. The two most corrupt professions in the world are police and government. You want those people deciding what is a reasonable speed limit, and then lining their pockets with it, so all of a sudden it's a giant revenue-grabbing thing, and it's much better. I'd rather have an occasional person driving 60 and a 40 than a police state to try to prevent it. You're now, part of living in a free society that has freedom, and you enjoy a lot of freedom, think about it, is taking risk. You're never going to have perfect safety. This is why I took a little issue with Trump's speech. If we're going to have safe streets and have safety and security, whenever anyone starts pimping security to you, run. Shut them down, yank their funding, put them out of office, tar and feather them if you have to, because they will always go bad, and this reasonable standard will become so unreasonable. We're living under a complete dictatorship. The guy who's supposed to be hosting this show right now is not me, Eric the Freedom Screamer, and it's not Lori. Although she's the co-host for Tom. It's Tom, remember? He's sitting, here's what happens. When you say, well, maybe society can be a victim, and if we just have pre-crime and pretend that everybody's guilty or something, and we put shackles on them all day, they won't even have to leave their house. Wow, wouldn't that be safe? Look what happened to Tom. He hurt no one. He wasn't conspiring to hurt anyone, and he's sitting in a cage right now 22 out of 24 hours a day. That's the end game to the system you propose when you start claiming that Jeff Sessions, society's a victim, the state's a victim, prosecute everybody as if the state's a victim. Eisenhower said, if you want perfect freedom, move into a prison. There you'll have food, entertainment, TV, medical care, clothes. You'll have everything you need. The only thing you'll be lacking is freedom.
Well, and not only that, you have a right to face your accuser, period. And your accuser is not and the accuser has to write an affidavit of truth sworn to be true and correct under penalty of perjury of the law. And what many people don't realize,
we're suing our state.
Right. The state is a fictitious entity. It's an incorporation. It cannot sit on the stand. You cannot sit there and say a police report or a police ticket is an individual that is a victim. No, because they will tell you quickly in a court of law that a police officer's report is hearsay. Why? Because it is not sworn under penalty of perjury to be true and correct. I know plenty of police officers. The fact of the matter is, it is an illusion of safety and the illusion that we must have this and must have that. The people who you can have speed limits, that's not what I'm saying, but in order to enable them to ticket you if you're not following it, and nobody has been harmed, then that is not constitutional in the first place. Because where there is no victim, there is no crime. Whether
there's
you
no crime.
Understand that or not, we would gladly like for you to continue to listen. We provide documents to back up everything that we say.
Well, and it's frustrating for us, caller, because
we have friends sitting in jail
right now because of this.
Well, what I'm saying is, dig into your constitution of your state, Trip. Dig into the Constitution of the United States of America. They have very limited powers, even though they have exceeded them. They were never given the authority to be over education. They were never given the authority to be over health care. They were never given authority to be over a speed limit, per se. They were given authority to be over commerce.
And look how far it's gone. You give them an inch and they take a mile.
Right. But the other matter is, instead of trying to flip it onto that, and by the way, the Seventh Amendment covers that any amount over $20 shall be tried by a jury trial. Look it up. How many tickets are automatically $180? And people don't even know they have a right to a jury trial of common law jury. That's in your Seventh Amendment.
And in New York.
And that's in the Constitution for the United States.
And in many states, including New York, they've gotten rid of that, Lori. They have a bench trial now. If there's less than 6 months of prison time at stake, the judge will say, sorry, all you get is a bench trial. You want to fight that hard because the Constitution assures you a trial by jury. But all these protections were put in place so we don't get this pre-crime mentality that we can keep everybody safe by arbitrary, quote-unquote, reasonable statutes that only get abused by the government agents. Go ahead,
and
Lori.
Now, I do want to make this clear. I understand what Tripp was trying to say because of the way that he's saying it is more like like a neighborhood type area where there's a lot of children, or something to that effect. But then you have to also understand that also falls back on the parents. Why are the parents, if they're in a neighborhood where there's a lot of children, allowing their children to play in the streets? That falls back on the parents' responsibility. Now, in the same token, if an individual is in their vehicle and they hit somebody, even a child, then they're going to be held responsible for that. Why? Because it is their responsibility, because they're behind the wheel, it is their responsibility to pay attention to their surroundings.
Hey, let me tell you what I did once.
There is a victim. If there is no victim, there is no crime. Go ahead.
Correct. Okay, I'll tell you what I did when I saw a woman going 70 miles an hour in a 20. I got in. I was actually leaving my property. I was pulling out. She went by, and this was coming up to a 20 curve, and she had to be going between 70 and 75. And so I just gently, as we came to the next stop sign, I pulled out my camera and made it very obvious I was filming her. And boy, did her whole everything changed. She was going the speed limit. Take matters in your own hands. Film them. That way you have some documented evidence for action if that person going 60 and a 30 ever hurts anyone. And by the way, go down to their house and film them from a public place. That'll make them really squirm. Let them know the community's watching them. You have to, unfortunately, people, you got to do your own community activism. You got to pay attention. Take care of your own security. Organize four or five neighbors and say, hey, are you bothered by the person going 70 and a 20? And if they say yes, say, well, let's write them a letter and I'll sign it. And then if that doesn't work, we'll go pay them a visit, a nice visit at their front door. And let me tell you, when it gets to that point where all your neighbors are coming to your door saying, excuse me, could you please have your, 18-year-old slow down? He's going 70 and a 20. Okay, and guess what? You can work things out on your own without hiring a giant Gestapo police state. And I'll turn it back to you on that note, Lori.
Well, and I'll tell you, we do have another caller on the line. Rebecca, please hold on. I'll get your call in just a minute. Or Reb, I'm sorry, not Rebecca, Reb. Sorry about that. I'm going to take Trip in just one second. So I want to tell you, when I lived on a dirt road, okay, I used to live on a ridge, and these are complete country boys. They are used to flying around. And when I say they flew, I mean they flew. I'm not talking 20, 30 miles an hour. No speed limit posted out there whatsoever. Well, first of all, we didn't let kids play in the streets of that. But how did we slow them down? I'll tell you how we slowed them down, because I stopped them and I said, hey, you need to slow down from that point up to this point of my property, because we have children and we have dogs, and I'd appreciate it if you'd slow down. Well, most of them slowed down out of respect. Then you're going to have some that won't slow down out of respect. So what did I do? We built speed bumps. Okay? So there is ways around not feeding into the police state and taking care of it and not harming anybody and not feeding into this idea that somebody else has to take care of it for us. We must ticket everybody and have taxation without representation, and having the, because here's the thing, when they ticket individuals, it is not going to help out anybody. Nobody.
It doesn't keep you safe.
Them keeping you safe from yourself is an illusion. Seatbelt law. I understand a lot of people have been killed because they didn't wear their seatbelt. Well, that was their personal responsibility. Now, on the same note, I know individuals who have almost been killed because of their seatbelt, almost took their heads off.
It is a matter of choice. Of living in a free society is risk.
Right, and I will come back with you, Tripp, on the next side of this break, so please hold on, and we're going to hear a couple of words from our network sponsors, and we'll be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
Did you know 40% of all cancer could be prevented? That's a fact. Along with maintaining appropriate body weight and regular exercise, the American Institute for Cancer Research and the USDA confirm that eating 9 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every day is the key. Now ask yourself, am I at risk? How many servings of fruits and vegetables did I eat today? Balance of Nature has solved this problem and provides an easy and affordable way to consume over 10 servings of 31 different whole fruits and vegetables every day.
Here's microbiologist Dr. Tim O'Neill talking about Balance of Nature.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. They fight against oxidants that damage the cell's DNA, causing mutations that lead to disease. I don't take any...
Welcome back, everyone. Resurrect the Republic,
RTR Truth Radio broadcast on the RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of CourtroomObservers.com. And Tripp, I would like to pull you back on the line and let you say what you have to say.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
It was interesting that you brought up common law, Lori, in the Seventh Amendment. I write a blog on the Constitution, which I research extensively, and I've been on numerous radio programs. Mm-hmm. I have an article there examining whether common law grand juries are valid. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Seventh Amendment, which you referenced, Lori, actually undermines common law practice rather than upholds it. If you look at the Seventh Amendment, it says that in suits at common law, so it's relegating that to common law suits where the court would be determining the law where there's no direct applicable law, then what it does above a certain value, which was stated $20, then it is not to be just, the law is not to be decided by a judge, but rather by a jury of one's peers.
Okay, that's not the exact statement of the Seventh Amendment, but go ahead.
That is my representation of what it is. If you have a problem with
okay,
with,
but where the problem is too many people give rewordings and representations instead of taking it for what it is. Now, I do also have a question. Are you talking about the Constitution for the United States, or are you talking about the Constitution for the United States of America? Which one?
They are one and the same.
No, they're not.
Yes, as a matter of fact, they are.
Okay. Well, apparently...
Can you point to me to two separate constitutions, Laurie?
Oh, I can point to you several of them, including the one in 1851 where the original 13th Amendment didn't allow for titles of nobility. So what I would suggest, I've got two more people. Look, wait a minute. Trip, I just want to know your comment on our answers because we have people waiting on the line. We have 25 minutes left of the show. You're more than welcome to call back in on a different night, and we will gladly go over the different parts of the different constitutions. But
okay,
we're not going to do that full thing right now because we only have 25 minutes. And I would suggest you research both of them.
I will give you my phone number so you can call me and schedule that whenever you'd like.
Okay, just leave that with Mike.
Yeah, just hang on the line, caller, and the man on the board will take
your number. Yeah, just leave that with Mike so that you're not putting it over to the live air. Just go ahead and leave that with Mike, with the producer, and we'll get a hold of it.
Okay, you guys may want to review my article on my blog, which is libertyborn.wordpress.com. It's called Our Common Law Grand Jury's Valid. And
they absolutely are, and they've been around since 1215 of the Magna Carta.
No, they have not.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm going to please leave your number with the producer, and we will discuss that on a different night because right now we're on different discussions of tonight, and we will gladly go over the different documents and things that you're wanting to discuss right now. However, we're trying to cover the other stuff, and obviously you know this as well as I do, that there is no way to cover what you're talking about in 24 minutes. So,
according to whom is the common law grand jury invalid? Who makes that call that it's invalid? So I don't see anybody can make up anything. And I think it's important for the caller. I think it's important for the caller to know many documents of extreme historic importance have been kept from the general public, including, and we can do this in another night, missing books of the Bible. And I'll get into that. I've got two very good books on missing books of the Bible, two volumes, of books that were removed from the modern Bible that were in the original Apocrypha and Septuagint. And we can do that on another night, but there's a lot of hidden history out there, so don't think everything is as it appears to be, folks. And right. I would argue just that the common law
is very valid. Also, you can even look in the New York State Constitution. It issues Article 1, I believe it is Section 14, where New York is supposed to be in its entirety under common law. So, you know,
how is the puppet grand jury that's put to you by the state is nothing more than a bunch of puppets that are pulled by the district attorney, who's a member of the bar. Are we going to argue that that's valid, but a citizen grand jury is not? I mean, obviously
people have the final prerogative. We've got callers, though, guys. So what we're going to do is leave your number, Trip, with the producer once you get off of live air so that your number's not given out to everybody in the listening range out of respect for your privacy. However, you might want to research that a little more because it's even admitted in Supreme Court cases. So thank you for your call, and we will address that on a different night, okay?
Yeah, he's already gone.
Okay, well, I would like to go ahead and go to Reb. How are you doing tonight, Reb?
Still U.S. Pentagon's first team, Boba Scout Reb from last week. And thanks for letting us on last week. We got a lot of information now.
I want to hear about Columbine.
Okay.
We can't touch that tonight, Eric.
Yeah, but he was going to go off anyway. All right, if it's on topic, great. But if you're going to cover multiple things like you did last time, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Columbine.
Hold on one second. What I'm trying to say is, we've got other callers on the line. We have 20 minutes left. and we want Reb to be able to get his information in that he wants to say. Maybe, Reb, can you call in Monday? Can you call in Monday for the show for that so Eric can Eric can ask those questions and you can answer those questions maybe towards the beginning
of
the show?
I'll call in Monday, but okay. I'm just going to tell you
We'll cover that part on Monday. Now go ahead and tell us what you were going to tell us tonight.
Your listener's phone in National Command Center is working. You keep phoning that and mention Bubba Scout Rev War Plan. It's not our war plan, but they know who we are to the top levels of the government. Mr. coming in here, drain the wall, build a swamp, he's going to take over. And he already appointed Mad Dog. So yeah. This is going to take some shape, and you'll get some results. We don't want 9/11 on our phone lines. Bubba will give you a seminar why it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain it even in detail Monday. But our 9/11 number for America right now is 703-697-9121. 703-697-9121, 24/7. And you just say, Bubba Scout Rebel, you're rattling the Pentagon, and we're federal witnesses for you. And we're not doing a damn thing, and you're paying for us. And like I said, when you were talking about this safety thing, mm-hmm. this mentality of these idiots, if they murder you, they're protecting you. I'm serious.
I know.
No remorse. That's where it always ends up. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
This is a national emergency. And, mm-hmm. Maybe you'll even look up the history of this Colorado where they brought in armed and dangerous murders, these mining companies and bankers when they had a strike, and murdered them. They didn't have forces, paid for by the public back then. They had their own mercenaries. They'd hire the Pinkertons, I think that was the name.
Yep, the Pinkertons, yep.
And they murdered people here in Colorado. It's got a history of this.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't new. It was in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
They covered it. Only the military can stop this, which it's required to do under law.
Yep.
You don't let them get away with murdering your public. And that's the first time. And that's what we're going to tell Mad Dog. We'll curse about, but you don't need that number. You just call National Command. Say, Bubba Scout Rebel. It's not our war plan. It's not our complaint. It's Judge Advocate General complaint. It's the Joint Chiefs. It's the U.S. Army War College war plan. It's public law. I'll give it again. 109-364, Section 1076. Written by the Bush-Cheney administration, signed by President Bush on 17 October 2006. It's good to go, and so are we. 24. We told him, get to Bubba's. She is the ultimate initiator. I'm an agitator. And I call her the anointed one to the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency. They know what I'm talking about. The public doesn't have to know about that and some of the other stuff. And we'll get it right back to order this week. Now, we're all on welfare. You're paying for us. Anyway, we're not doing a damn thing. So I was at this place, the Meals on Wheels. Believe it or not, I don't look it, but I'm elderly. And they have meals near where I live. But Bubba and Scout are 40 each. They don't even qualify for this, but they're on welfare, too. And all of a sudden, the Lakewood Mujihaji Guinea, we call government shooter, no one tells, they show up there. We're trying to eat, not get sick to our stomach. And this idiot, the two of them in semi-uniform, they got a gun, but they're not like in the street uniform exactly. One's a female, another one's just a fat man, and he introduces the prime guinea of the city. We said, well, he's the assistant prime guinea. His name was Bear. We turned this over to USDIA and to the top levels. He comes on into, like, I didn't want to look at him, like a cheap suit and mustache, said he was a guinea for 34 years. And I said to him, obstruction of justice is a crime. He knows who Bo's got. He didn't want to talk. He said, he just fumbled. I said, we know where you made this phony audio tape with us confessing to a terrorist, because he was talking about the CBI guineas here in Lakewood. That's where they made this audio tape. This is all, it's all blueprint inside their skull with their fingerprints all over it. And it's that place they can't get it. It's at the military. You want to turn us loose. And so keep phoning. The listeners keep phoning. And we'll It'll switch to Bubba. They want Bubba, not me. She's 5 miles south, and her CQ runner, Scouty. They'll get them. They'll come up here and seal this area off, too. We'll be under wraps. You're not going to be able to hear from us again under military. It's called quarantine, and we'll be under restriction. Because we signed our names to this, the Secretary of Defense. Everything that comes to us is federal, but it goes through these state ripoff artists. They use your name to bring in this federal money. And according to Mr. Bill the Swamp, Drain the Wall, whatever he said, he's going to cut off funding to these sanctuary states. I don't know how that's going to work. Yeah, good. That'd be good. I don't know if it's going to happen. But everything we got is lined up for this mad dog who's already been approved. He's going to be, I call the Secretary of Defense, hey, did you hang Mad Dog's picture up on the wall in your chain of command?
Yeah, he's confirmed
are you
today.
Say, hey, hi, Mr. Mad Dog. I don't know what they're going to say when these career bureaucrats see him in the morning. And if he's like the officer we hope he's general for the Marine Corps, he's going to say, shut up and get back to work. You know, something. That's what he should say to these career bureaucrats. And some of the NCOs that answer the phone or the other ones, the OICs, I don't know what they're going to do. They told me that they're looking forward to it. I don't know. But I said, get rid of those career bureaucrats. They say the goofiest things. And they do, because I talk to them a lot. Even Bubba heard some of it. She don't do much talking. But once they get her, I just punch her in the shoulder and say, you're it. And I'm on technical support. I'm done phoning. And I appreciate a lot of this going out on the Internet. And we'll get our web address back up. I'm talking to people in Cape Canaveral. They're late. You see, it says this domain name is under something ready to go back. All you got to do is switch back on the servers out of Cape Canaveral. I got to call 2,000 miles and say, get the Vulture Squadron back. But we don't even need that. This is all USDIA. If you look at our account on LinkedIn, which I don't see any links on there, it's called Bubba Scout Rev Element. It's the only one of its kind. It's not approved by LinkedIn. It's approved by the United States Defense Intelligence Agency. All it does is give all these, and it hides some of the facts. We're linked to the U.S. Army Special Operations Command, U.S. Special Operations Command. This is all top-level military. That's why you call Mr. Dunfors. Office there at 703-697-9121 24/7. They don't like us. I started saying, you can't say, I even said to him, you can't tell us F word to America. You're not going to get away with that. You don't go AWOL on us. Like I told you, they're going to be here last week. And like I said, I told that prime guinea of the city of Lakewood, his name is Fury or something. I don't know. They gave his name. I didn't even want to look at him. I said, we're going to get marijuana out of our continent. You're not going to deal it here. Because he said marijuana is legal in Colorado. He's a liar. It's not legal anywhere in the United States of America. They're just not choosing to go round up this Governor Noriega, that's what we call him, and put a rope around his neck for being a narcotics trafficker, just like the one in Panama in 1989. Only this is NORTHCOM, and there is no more canal zone. There's no more Howard Air Force Base. There's no more U.S. canal zone. That's gone. But back then, that's where they sent in the whole store to get that Noriega out of there. And then last we heard he's locked up in Miami somewhere. I don't know. We don't follow that. But this governor's still in business. And he's American Friends Service Committee. And we want him put out business. And he can take his 9-11s and off our phone lines and shove it to hell. It's a dangerous. You can look on your phone statement. They charge you a couple cents for your 9-11. You don't want it there. It was. I was around 1950. You dialed seven digits, a rotary dial phone. You got faster service. You got what you wanted. You got either medical personnel. You might get the rescue personnel. But they were there faster. Nobody carried a phone back then. There was no answer machine. You got better service. But the UN, in the I think it was sometime late in the 1960s, they put this 9/11 in and screwed everything up.
Well, Reb, I appreciate your call, but I have some other callers on. Call back in Monday.
When do you want me to phone in Monday?
I would say probably around 11 o'clock would be great.
Is that your time, Central?
That would be Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock.
Okay, after 9. entire time, and I'll tell you any question you want about Columbine, we got from the source, East Hyden and Greeley. Thanks a lot.
Well, you're very welcome.
Awesome. Give us a full presentation at that time and just take it slow and spell it out for people, because there was a lot of stones that were unturned with that deal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot still ongoing. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Reb. Thank you so much for your call. And I wanted to say this before I called Jim on the line. Just let me read this to you real quick. And I'm in the Federal Constitution Bill of Rights, 7th Amendment on the Constitution of the United States, the bylaws, Eric. Okay. And this is what it states. Exactly. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall otherwise be re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Now, also on the Cornell Law website, of course, because this is the federal entity part that we're talking about, not the individual state, it states, and this is on Cornell Law, Legal Information Institute, the Seventh Amendment continues a practice from the English common law of distinguishing civil claims, which must be tried before a jury, absent a waiver by the parties, from claims and issues that may be heard by a judge alone. It only governs federal civil courts, and that's because it's the federal constitutions. And it has no application to civil courts set up by the states, which is correct, when those courts are hearing only disputes of state law. Now, that is in the Constitution for the United States. So I wanted to make that clear. That's the exact wording, not an interpretation. It has been upheld. And in the states as well as in the federal, they quote common law all the time. Supreme Court cases also have quoted common law. So, yes, common law is actually, and there is only criminal or civil court. So I just wanted to say that. So now what I wanted to do is I wanted to go to our next caller. And that would be Jim. How are you doing this evening, Jim?
Hi, Lori.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How's Eric?
Very well. Thanks, buddy.
Is the topic common law?
No, we've actually been discussing a lot of... Right, we've been discussing a lot of the wording, the inauguration... Well, but we did get off onto common law at one point. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna kind of travel down that road if that's okay.
Go ahead. We have 8 minutes until the end of the show.
I'll be short and sweet.
Sure.
I had a past neighbor of mine. We used to discuss law, and in my part of the country, back in the 90s. We had a police officer that figured out the system, and he was issuing DUIs, DWIs, whatever you want to call it. He figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it got out of hand. In fact, in the county where I live, our county issued more DWIs alone, more than the rest of the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had gotten in, my neighbor and I had gotten into this discussion. Well, he passed, but his son remembered us having these discussions about law. And I went over to visit, and he pulls out this. It was like a 1972, 1973, somewhere in there, old Reader's Digest, special edition hardback, about 3 inches thick. And he says, have you ever seen this before? And I said, no, I haven't ever seen it before. He says, they've got a big law section. So we went to the law section. So we went looking through it. I'm flipping through the pages, and we come up to this driving while intoxicated. I don't even think it said driving while intoxicated, or it might have been drunk driving or something like that. But it was very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Officer's job was, if he suspected that somebody was under the influence, his job was to pull him over, go have a conversation with the person. If the officer thought that he's marginal, he was to follow him home to make sure he got home safely. And if he didn't think that he could operate the vehicle, he put him in his passenger seat and drove him home.
Yeah.
Yeah, like public servants are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were supposed to do. We're trying to keep the road safe. Okay, I get it. Okay, but now it doesn't have anything to do with that. It is a revenue operation only.
Yep.
Let me tell you real quick about a situation I'm following in the upstate New York courts here out in the country. A guy swerved to avoid a deer. He bumped his truck into the guardrail. The bumper got hung up, so he was kind of stuck there. The guy from the fire department wouldn't pull him off until the state troopers got there. There was no indication for them to believe he was intoxicated. He was not intoxicated. He was perfectly straight. And they said, well, we want to, just to be sure, we want to take your blood. State law says we can take your blood. And he says, absolutely not. And they said, okay, we're charging you with DWI. Zero evidence, zero impairment, zero no threshold of suspicion whatsoever. He wasn't, his eyes weren't blurry, he wasn't staggering or stammering. He was straight away, just swerved to avoid the deer, went off to the right, and the guardrail was right there, tight to the white line, and he hit it. Truck rocked up a little, sat on the bumper, he was waiting to get pulled off. The insurance company was happy to pay for it because they were fully aware that he was, you know, he was a military veteran, he was a very square guy, didn't smoke or drink. It wasn't taking any pills, and he looked the trooper right in the eye and said, why do you want my blood? Well, we just want to be sure you're not, you know, see, we want to be safe ahead of time, so we just want to keep everybody safe, you know? And he said no, and now he's going up through the witch's court and had to hire an attorney and said, I'm going up in court. And so, you know, this is where it goes. It always goes bad.
Yeah, I know, and I think that my point is, your previous caller, I can't remember his name, but you're exactly right. When you start allowing them to go, okay, what's reasonable, then all of a sudden they're going, we'll just set this limit and we'll just rake in the buck.
Well, plus, what's reasonable for one person is not necessarily reasonable for another. And then when you do that, you're imposing your belief of what is reasonable upon somebody else. Thus you are stepping on their liberty and freedom.
Well, and
the threshold is always lower.
And as far as an alcohol situation goes, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there are certain people in the world. I know the Asians are suspect
this
to it.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are we done?
Jim, yes, unfortunately we are. It. Thank you so much for calling in, Jim, and I'm sorry, but we are now broadcast.
I tried to call for Tom, and I didn't get anywhere, but I tried. So,
well, thank you. Just continue to keep try calling. Join us again on Monday, everybody, as always. Thank you very much for listening in. Share our show. Help Tom donate to tomlacavera@gmail.com in order to help Lori. As always, watch your backs and check your facts. God bless you and good night. Oh,
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.